Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide the answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, emotions from a loss, or maybe life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, I'm so glad to see that you've signed on today to watch and or to watch and listen. And it's just an incredible opportunity for me to interview today my new friend David Greer from the great area of Vancouver in BC. And David will sign on here in a second. It's always great to know that there are people listening literally from coast to coast, and in the last count, we're at 24 or 25 countries where we have listeners. So depending upon where you're watching this or listening to this, you should see a subscribe button or an area to leave a comment. Please do that, because those comments and that feedback are hugely valuable. For more information on who Randy is and what Randy does, you can go to my website, which is randymortensen.com. That's Randy Mortensen, MORTENSEN.com. And there you'll see that there is a 21-point assessment that can be used as a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. But without further delay, it's very exciting for me to welcome Mr. David Greer to the program. So welcome, David.
Thanks, Randy. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, it's awesome to have you, and just getting to know you has been a huge blessing for sure. And anybody that's listened to the program knows my usual first question is, what is there that you know today that you wish your 22-year-old self would have known? What comes to mind?
It's probably a long list, actually, but so some of the things I wished I'd learned earlier, let's put it that way. So one would be how to listen. So, you know, I'm a really higher powered individual, worked in very technical fields where being right was very important, like, cause there was most of the time a technically better answer. But you know, you can be right or you can be happy. So, and you know, today when I coach entrepreneurs and high performers about listening when they're in a sticky situation with someone, it can be a personal relationship. Often it's in a business relationship. I really coach them around, you know, are you really listening to the other person? You know, signs you're not listening is if the busy stuff going on in your head is you're so busy thinking about how you're going to respond to this person, then you're not actually listening to what they're saying. And it's taken me a long time, really many, and a lot of like personal growth work to really get comfortable with holding space for someone who has a very different opinion from me and not judging it. You know, my role as a coach is to not judge, right? And to really hear the other person out. And so, you know, if my 22-year-old self was very judgmental and often was not very good at listening. Right. I was way too busy trying to figure out, you know, how I was going to rebuttal whatever was being said rather than honoring the other person.
Well, and one thing that I say and that I've learned a long time ago, and I wish I would have learned it earlier, is listen 70% of the time and talk 30% of the time. Yeah. Life is just far better when we do that.
Yeah. Mine rules to 80-20, but same difference.
Yeah. 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 We're close. We're within 10%.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you learn to ask better questions,
yes,
that's also showing respect in many ways that you wouldn't anticipate. Right.
Yeah. And so like the follow on to listening better is to be curious.
Yes.
Curiosity is one of the most powerful tools we have in all relationships. And the way I know I'm not being curious is when I'm so busy defending my position.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, a flip the coin over kind to the listening, right? But if I'm so busy fighting and defending my position, then I'm not truly, I don't think, being curious about the other person and what's going on for them, right?
Yeah.
And what's showing up for them.
Yeah. And just the words, tell me more.
Yes.
We'll engage a person too. And in the world of recovery, when I can say to someone, I know how you feel, I used to feel exactly that same way. This is the path I went down, and here's who I am today. Is that feel, felt, found, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, you don't think about that, the psychological aspect of that or the relationship building aspect of that until you've tried it and it works.
It does.
So, yeah, yeah. So from a corporate standpoint, you had a lot of success early in your career.
Yes, I did.
And traveled a good amount.
Yes. Right?
And so give us the background on that, and then we'll transition into how you discovered that you maybe were having some compulsive drinking habits that weren't treating you very well.
So when I was still at university getting my computer science degree, I had a part-time job where I met a consultant and a software business founder who hired me as the first employee after the two founders. So, and the company was named Robel for Robert and Annabelle, which today is a good made. It's because it's a made up name. It Googles well, you know, there aren't many of them. You know, I liked the place. I stayed 10 years and then I bought out Annabelle because she wanted to retire, became partners with Bob, and went another 10 years and we built it into a global powerhouse, a very successful software company that specialized in a particular computer system from Hewlett Packard. So
okay,
we were like world experts in that platform. And my former partner and I, we wrote a paper a year for 20 years. And traveled the planet. That's how we created belief in this small, obscure, you know, Vancouver-based software company you're going to trust your whole business to.
Was
people would come and hear us talk and figure out we were pretty credible. So,
and that was HP was more or less the leader in the early days, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, when they first released the HP 3000, the platform we were specialized in, they were like the 46th largest computer manufacturer in the world. And then the HP 3000 probably became the third most successful mini computer.
Okay. So,
and in fact, this year we'll celebrate, it will be 50 years since they first released the HP 3000. I mean, they haven't made it for a number of years now, but it was pioneering. It was visionary. It was ahead of its time. It turns out that's been kind of what's happened in my career. I've often been on the leading edge of a bunch of things, but to me, it was so normalized that it just seems normal. It's just, what do you mean? I'm like 10 years ahead of the curve. The computer system I used at the University of British Columbia, which I also used as a student when I grew up in Edmonton and the prairies, and the University of Alberta also used the same. It was one of the most advanced operating systems in the entire world. And I'm 15, 16 years old, I'm using this thing. I have no idea it's the most advanced thing in the entire world. It just became my normal, right? So we come to 2001. We'll just quickly go through the career.
Please.
So Bob and I only had one disagreement in 20 years, and that one was a doozy, and it ended in divorce. So
okay,
we had a shotgun agreement in our shareholders agreement, or we had a shotgun clause. And I made him a really good offer, and you know, he'd never had kids and this was his baby. And so he turned around and he bought me up.
Okay.
So I'm early 2001, not really noticing the dot-com meltdown, kind of busy chasing deals, got a pretty good check on my jeans. And someone smarter than me said, David, do you need to work right away? And I'm like, no, I'm not done for life, but I don't need to work right away. And she told me how she'd had a career shift like mine and gone to Australia and bought a VW van and drove around for a year. So Carol Lee and I hatched this idea where I'm a lifelong sailor and she has sailed with me at that point for 20 years. So we commissioned a sailboat in the south of France and took our three children and homeschooled them and sailed more than 5,000 miles in the Mediterranean.
Over how much? 5,000 miles
over 2 years. Yeah. That's actually going at a pretty good clip. Because you got to remember, you're only going like 7 miles an hour.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of traveling. Plus your homeschooling, plus plus, you know, plus every new place, you've got to find the bank machine, the butcher, the baker, the what day is the vegetable market on, right? So,
wow.
You know, and that's an experience and a legacy that we have as a family. Like,
yeah,
you know, we went 18 months without being in an English speaking country. So
that's impressive. There's not a lot of people that can say that they were brave enough, bold enough, and pioneering enough to make that happen. Well done.
Thank you very much. Few dream it.
Yes.
And even fewer have the courage to do it.
Right.
And we had both. So we seized that moment, and you know, it's a peak experience from my life.
Wow. And then how did you decide at the conclusion of that? How did you decide what's next? What was that decision?
Oh, that was a struggle. Like? That was a really big struggle. So, you know, I came back, I did 3 years of angel investing, looking at 300 deals a year and kind of investing in one and working, you know, being a board of director and working for options. And it just was not fulfilling at all.
Okay.
And in 2007, I went to a training event with a guy, Vern Harnish. He has a couple of books, Scaling Up. He has a framework for business that has been very successful and which I use and believe in. And I took one of my young startup CEOs to this event to help her learn about it. And at the back of the room were two coaches. And I went and talked to them. And one of them made me more uncomfortable than I'd been in years. In fact, I had tears in the corner of my eyes just based on a 5-minute conversation. And I think, I don't even know if I realized even in that moment how unhappy I was or unfulfilled.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So they were challenging questions, very pointed questions that were stirring up a lot.
I think the one that really got the tears was, well, almost all the people in this room need your help. And I hadn't been able to find a way to help any of them or make a career out of it, or right?
Okay.
So, you know, there he is showing me like, yeah, they need you, but I couldn't figure it out. And yeah. His card sat next to my phone for 3 weeks. And I tell you, the phone was way, way too heavy to pick up. And thankfully, Coach Kevin called me.
And oh, really?
He said, okay. I really felt a spark that day.
And so this is the gentleman you worked with for the 18 months then?
Yeah. So which we haven't told the rest of the audience.
No, yet. I know. I just wanted to make sure I was connecting the dots.
You are.
Interesting.
So on my 50th birthday, on August 9th, 2007, we had our first coaching session. So Kevin is like, he's as crazy as me. So like I had to hire him for 2 full days was our opening coaching session. 16 hours.
That's intense.
It was. So we worked. So I worked actually for 9 years with Kevin, but, you know, and we worked on a lot of things. But in the first 18 months, we kind of just chipped away at all the things that were kind of in my life and just kept clearing off the table until there was nothing left except the elephant in the room. And that was that I was an alcoholic. And so Kevin was the first person in the world that I admitted I had a drinking problem to. And it turned out that through his summer place and associates he knew there, he'd been introduced to 12-step recovery. And so he coached me to go to 12-step recovery. And that was a Tuesday afternoon. It was January 27th, 2009. And I committed to him I'd go to a meeting by the Friday. So being a typical overachiever, I looked online in the afternoon and I was at a tech event downtown until 8 o'clock. And lo and behold, one block off the street I'd be driving by to go home was a meeting at 8:30.
Sure.
And so I went. And it's in a legion. So legions are like kind of social clubs for,
right,
for military members.
Right. Yes.
And so it's a 12-step recovery meeting on top of a bar.
Right.
So I walked in and the doors to the bar were open and there were beers on the table. And I literally stood there like a deer in the headlight. I hadn't even been 24 hours sober. And, you know, some people went by and they had that sixth sense and they said, oh, are you looking for a meeting? go down the hall and up the stairs.
Interesting.
And that meeting has been my home group for 13 years.
And it's very few of us went to our first meeting by ourselves. So you actually went by yourself, walked in.
Yep.
Never had knew nothing about what to expect. That nope. took a moment of bold behavior on your part for sure.
It did, but you know, I built this relationship with Kevin, and Kevin is like as high powered or higher powered than me. And like I knew when I admitted to him I had a problem, like he was never ever going to let me off the hook.
Right.
Like, yeah, I once I made the admittance to him, I just knew like the jig was up. And so yeah. if he said, do this, then like, and I had a lot of aversion to it. I don't even know where it came from. I'd never been to a meeting. And he coached me through that in the coaching session.
That's awesome. And so think about there's that 49-year-old guy, 45, 50-year-old guy that's listening to this. Their career's doing great, has a couple of kids, family life's doing okay, but he's wondering, I wonder if this is what I'm supposed to do, is go to an AA meeting. What would you say to that guy to fight through the fear factor?
Well, this is what I would say is, if you looked at me 13 years ago, I had a nice house, a couple of cars, was uber successful. If you look at me today, I have a nice house. We have two cars. I'm uber successful. But the person inside is a completely different guy. Completely different. And 13 years ago was a very scared person who was trying to cope with life by numbing himself out, by not feeling what was going on. And you know, I drank because I'm an alcoholic, principally. But, you know, I drank to make the highs higher. I drank to power up. Right. I drank to make the lows not so low. Like, it's just what I did. And I was a daily drinker, right? And, you know, what I want to offer is that they're, like, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
So if you're anywhere close to being sick and tired of just the, you know, and I eventually got tired of the picking up the drink every day, you know, and it was like 5 o'clock and then it was 4 o'clock and then it was 3 o'clock. I just had had enough. And so if it feels at all like that for you, I just want you to know there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope and you don't have to do it alone. In fact, I don't think you can do it alone.
No.
I think the only way to do recovery is with others.
And with someone that you trust, someone mm-hmm. that has character and integrity. Maybe, you know, Kevin was a huge blessing for you because he hadn't been down that path, but he knew people who had.
Exactly.
And it's when I can say, you today can say to that guy who's listening, I know how you feel. You know,
the deceit,
the lies, the guilt, the shame. Why did we drink? It was to cover all those things up or to put the mask over it.
It was harder to get the empties out of the house because when they come in full, they don't clink so much. But you know, the wine bottles and the beer cans, when you're trying to get them out, they make a lot of noise. So
that's good. That's good. Right? Yeah, that's
so
good.
So if that thought has ever crossed your mind, then maybe we should have a conversation.
Right. Yeah. So what was the motivation for your book, Wind in Your Sails? What was the motivation there?
So for Wind in Your Sails, I wanted to share my, at that point, you know, 30, 35 years of business entrepreneurial experience. And to share a lot of my scar tissue. So maybe you don't have to, you can have your own scars, but maybe you don't want all of mine. And so that's its principal goal. And, you know, it's not designed for a super sophisticated, you know, if you're on your fifth business, I think you'd kind of find my book boring. But if you're an owner founder, you know, and you've always run your own business. So I have 10 chapters, which I call like the 10 strategies, the 10 parts of your business to think about.
Got it.
I would say most owner founders, if they're like me, like three or four, they're super good at. Three or four, they're at least competent and they're probably pretty good at. And then there's probably two they've never thought of.
Right.
Yeah. So, yep. And then it's a combination of some theory, how to think about it, and then a ton of practical, like this is the kind of book it's supposed to be on the shelf. It's like, you're really stuck with something. You go look in the index, you go read 3-4 pages, and you've got one idea that you didn't have like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. That nugget, that one nugget that you didn't know.
And then the other thing was a third of the book. So I interviewed over 45 entrepreneurs and sales leaders, business leaders for the book. And, every chapter ends with a case study from an entrepreneurial friend of mine. So a third of the book is other people's stories. So it's powerful. Not just like my scar tissue. You get the scar tissue of 10 other very successful entrepreneurs.
A lot of wisdom
packed into 150 pages. So,
right. Okay.
And that's the motivation, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to invent it all. You don't have to go through it all yourself if you don't want it.
No. And in, so guys and gals, the website for David's practice is coachdjgreer.com. And there's just a ton of information there. And it's a very impressive website. His book, Wind in Your Sails, is available in print or in audio. I saw there too.
And all the ebook formats.
And all the ebook formats also. So please be sure to check him out. I do want to make mention also of an upcoming men's retreat that we have here in Central Florida. You can find more information on that at lifestylechampion.org. That's lifestylechampion.org. It is the first weekend in April. And check that out if you're interested in signing up. If you use the code, hashtag courageous, it will actually save you $50 when you sign up. So if you are interested in more information and you want a simple way to reach out to us, you can just text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. And go to my website or go to David's website. And I'd love to get you connected. Great city in Vancouver. We didn't get to the point where I've spent a whole bunch of time and a whole bunch of money in Vancouver and a deal that didn't go so well a few years ago, but we won't bring that up here. But I think too, I have a number of spouses that listen to these podcasts too. David, what would your wife say? And I don't want you to put words in her mouth. Just what do you think she would say? That here was the David before, and then the David after a couple of years of sobriety. What lifestyle changes do you think that she would tout to if she was speaking to another spouse?
Yeah. So we live our life more or less the same way. I think what she would say was I had a personality transformation. Like, and I wasn't so loud and I wasn't so demanding and I didn't walk into the room and take all the air out of it because all the attention didn't have, because all the attention had to be on me. Right. So that I was able to show up in our life together in a completely different way.
Yeah. And then did you start listening to her better or were you always a good listener?
No, I was not always a good listener. And we will be married 40 years this coming April.
Congratulations.
And we did. So after I got into recovery, it's kind of, when one person changes, then it kind of upsets the apple cart and a lot of things start changing. So we've actually done 8 years of marriage counseling work on and off, which is more than we've done in the previous 30.
Okay.
And that that has led to much better listening skills. has led to, being much better at holding space for each other of very different points of view. And that's okay. Like you can have your point of view and I can have mine, but that's the way it is. We do have to come together on certain things, but we had a lot of codependency issues.
Do you know who the worst people, who the worst codependents are? Those of us who have figured out how to not drink.
Ah,
okay. Because now we've lost the mask. We've taken the mask of drinking off And now we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to say no, right? So in many instances, those of us in recovery become horrible at being codependents until it's pointed out to us. And I just want to give you kudos as a professional. You were willing to seek other professional help. Even yes. There's a lot of us that would say, no, why in the heck should I do that? Right. So good for you to do that.
You know, I hired Coach Kevin and I worked with him for 9 years, and then he didn't want to do one-on-one coaching because he does a lot of facilitation, and he helped me find my next coach, Nan O'Connor, based in Atlanta. And I still have a coach that I meet with twice a month. And you know, in this whole process, we did marriage counseling work, but I did 5 years of therapy work as well. And you know, I've worked the steps of my 12-step recovery program many times. And for the last 3 years, I've been involved with adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families, which has been a really big game changer for me to look at the generational, where I come from and why I behave the way I do. So all of the, you know, when I came into recovery, I committed to myself a few things. I'm going to really work to be present. Like, I was there a lot because I was a high functioning alcoholic, but I wasn't 100% there. Right. And so it really committed to being present to myself and to those around me who are important to me, and committed to personal growth for the rest of my life. Well, it might only be small increments, but to just stay on the path of there's always more to learn about myself. There is always, especially on the emotional side, there is always more to learn about.
Yeah.
What's the there other, and how I can grow.
Yeah. The other thing I would give you kudos for, I think I have this right, that currently you're actually taking off 12 weeks out of every year.
That's right? My goal. I'm not perfect at that, but that's
you're
that's
not there yet. Okay.
I probably got to at least 10 last year. Added it up to see if I made the 12, and I took 1 week off last month, and I'm going sailing for the next 2 weeks because like I'm really committed to making sure it's 12 this year. So
well done. I was somewhere within the last couple of weeks where a gentleman that was speaking said, he said, I don't refer to work-life balance. He said, getting a balance is virtually impossible. He said, I like to use the term work-life blend. So you're blending, you know, there are times when it's okay to pick up your phone when you're sitting at dinner, right? To look at an email or something like that. There's other times when it's not okay.
Right.
And he just puts his phone down at sometimes for like 3-4 hours at a time, just so he's present with his kids or present with his wife or whatever he's doing. And that was kind of challenging for me because I'm the guy, whenever my phone buzzes, I'm going to pick it up, see who that email's from.
No, but, we have a no phone at the table rule with my wife and I.
Good for you.
And in fact, we try and put it in another room because, you know, if it vibrates, you often can hear that and you react even if you don't go get it, I did want to just share with you. So from my former coach, Kevin Lawrence, he has a model to kind of get to that work-life balance, because again, I think when we talk about work-life balance, we're missing the most important piece. So I coach people and encourage people to think of their life in three like compartments, which overlap, but one is business career. One is life relationships. And then the part that, especially for us high performers, gets squeezed out in the middle is yourself.
Right.
Right. And what happens is we get super passionate about our business. And then we're often very, very passionate people about our life and our kids. And now I've got a grandkid who's going to be here for the weekend. And what happens is that if we don't bring a lot of conscious effort to what sustains us, me, David, right? So, you know, like last November, I went sailing for 4 weeks. Well, Carolee joined me for a week, but I went away for 4 weeks, more or less solo on my boat, right? And I actually worked part of that. I took time off part of that, but I did that because that is part of what really sustains me. And you know, it's like you can't pick up water with a bucket that's got holes in it, So how do you fill the holes in your own bucket? And you need to really bring conscious choice to this and do, and I really encourage people to, like, every week there's some things, or at least every month, you know, you are doing something that is just for you. And if you've not done this, like, sometimes people around you react very negatively because they, you know, they see it as totally selfish.
And right.
I'm like, yes, it is selfish, but I look at it as, you know, those things that swing and knock each other, the little round balls.
Right.
Well, you know, there's selfish on one end, there's selfless on the other. And if you're totally out of sync, if you're totally selfish, well, then you won't have anyone in your life. Right. Because no, who wants to be with someone who only thinks of themselves? But on the other hand, if you're totally selfless, everything is about, you know, contributing to your business, contributing to your industry, contributing to your life, then you will disappear and eventually burn out or get sick or have other consequences. And so you need to, I encourage people to bring conscious choice to where you want to be on the pendulum swinging back and forth, and to make sure that some of it is just purely selfish, and that that is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in what comes to my mind in the faith-based recovery program I lead here in Florida, I taught on step 5 last night. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying, even just getting away, those of us who have been through the 12 steps know that step 4 is one of the most challenging and yet most rewarding after the fact. It's that inventory. It's that balanced inventory. And what you're saying is, I think what I'm hearing is, if we're not taking time for ourselves, how can we expect to improve? How can we expect to grow? How can we expect to be rested and be and fulfilled?
Well, how can we expect to have any energy and resiliency to be there for other people?
Right on.
If we don't look after ourselves first, then there's nothing of me to give to others.
Yes. Right. That's right.
Yeah. Right. So I have to make sure that some of the time and energy is just going into me. So my program of recovery is in some ways very selfish. It's really for me when I, you know, look at from like a family point of view.
Right.
Obviously it's not selfish when I'm there, because the way I get to keep my sobriety is to give it away.
Right. So we're within a couple of minutes of wrapping up here, but I don't want to miss out on this. So your sobriety date was just the 27th, right? So you got a new medallion.
I did.
Right. So what, how did that feel for you to get that within the last few days?
So it was very weird to become a teenager. Honestly. I've had some really big events in my personal life. My nephew died last night of colorectal cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And he was 32 years old. And his mother, my sister, I didn't know until I was 61 years old, because I was relinquished for adoption at birth. And it took 60 years and actually almost 10 years of recovery till I was ready to go on a journey to find my birth families.
Oh my goodness.
And his mom, Wendy, and I have become very close friends. And, you know, it's been remarkable to think I only met Owen 2 years ago, and I've only been face to face with him 3 times. And yet I've been deeply, deeply impacted by his loss.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And, you know, like, I just learned about it this morning. But so what I reflected on, and when I shared my 13-year kick on Tuesday, is that I've been able to stay with the waves of emotion. And like earlier today, I was very sad and very melancholy, kind of wanted to curl into a ball. When I got on the call with you, I was filled with energy and excited, and you and I sparked each other off.
Absolutely.
And, you know, now as I'm talking about Owen, I'm a little bit sad again, and that's all okay. Like, before, I used to drink to just numb all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, 13 years in, I can actually stay with the waves, and, you know, this too shall pass.
Right.
And be okay with it. It's all right.
Yeah.
It'll all work.
Yeah. Those are good words. Good words. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that's struggling today, or maybe you're that person who's battling compulsive and destructive behavior, please don't wait another day to seek help. You can call my office and I can give you some guidance or speak with you. My office number is 321-757-HOPE. That's 321-757-HOPE. And if you're looking for resources, I'm blessed to be in a huge network of care providers. And I don't want you to wait, because those who are dying today are husbands, wives, sons, and daughters of somebody who dearly loves them. So today's the day for you to seek help. As I mentioned, if you're looking for more information, just text CHAMPION to 66866 and we'll be connected. And David, just as closing words, what would you say to encourage that guy that says, I got to do something about this drinking today?
Well, I'd like to echo your offer. So this is what I do offer people, which is call me, text me or call me, 604-721-5732. If my email's more comfortable, it's on my website. Just send me an email. Like, you don't have to go another day. Reach out to someone. I'm on the West Coast, Randy's on the East Coast. Between us, you know, one of us will be available. So
right on.
Reach out today.
Right on. And again, his website is coachdjgreer.com. If you want to, I will connect you. I do hope you found this information helpful today. You can look for the replay of this to be available on the usual podcast online outlets, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and others. I want to just close with this. Have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.